The mountains of West Virginia are treasured as both a source of beauty and energy. However, the landscape has been ravaged by strip mines and mining that has removed mountaintops. Now the state's mountains are being eyed as a new source of energy, wind power. But as NPR's Brian Naylor reports, not everyone is happy with the planned wind farms.
The wind is a constant on the Allegheny Front, a long mountain ridge that stretches from West Virginia through Maryland and into Pennsylvania. It blows on average 18 miles per hour. Even on a hot, hazy August day, there is usually a breeze on the ridgetop. And that breeze, much stiffer in winter, is bringing change to this mountain. Near the town of Thomas, West Virginia, 44 tall wind turbines dot the ridgeline. Their futuristic appearance is a curiosity in this hard-scrabble region. Motorists pull their cars off the road to watch. Three streamlined blades swish, not quite silently, about the sound of a washing machine in the next room. There is something slightly eerie, yet mesmerizing about them. There likely will be many more of these turbines along the Allegheny Front in the near future. That is not what Donna Cook wants to hear.
To me, the Allegheny Front is sacred. It's a very special place.
Cook grew up along the Allegheny Front, though she now lives during the week in a Washington, D.C. suburb. A few years ago, she and her husband bought her parents' farm here, and it's where she spends her weekends. Sitting on the patio of a neighbor's house, we look across an emerald hill over toward the ridgetop, a serene view that might soon be punctuated by 330-foot-tall wind turbines.
Growing up here, unfortunately, we tend to take it for granted. We also felt it would always be protected, that nobody would ever think of doing something like this that would alter the sky, the ridgeline.
A Virginia company, Ned Power, plans to construct some 200 wind turbines, the largest wind farm on the East Coast, along 11 miles of the Allegheny Front. Linda Cooper, a social worker and veteran of other environmental battles, grew up nearby and helped found Citizens for Responsible Wind Power to fight the project.
There's some places where these facilities do not belong. They are industrial facilities. They're not quaint little Holland windmills. You know, you're introducing a heavy industrial element into an area that's ill-prepared for it and that doesn't want it.
Along with ruining the viewshed, as it's called, opponents of new wind turbines cite other issues. Wind power is unreliable, they argue, and so fossil fuel-run plants are still necessary. They say the long blades of the wind turbines are a threat to birds and other wildlife, including bats and an endangered species of flying squirrel. But there are some here who say the bigger threat is from continued reliance on traditional energy sources. On a nearby ridge, hidden from sight, giant machines scoop up and haul away coal from a strip mine. Similar pits scar the landscape around here. They provide fuel for the massive Mount Storm power plant, whose 800-foot smokestacks loom over the region, pumping a steady stream of pollutants into the atmosphere. Frank Young is president of the West Virginia Highlands Conservancy, one of the state's largest environmental groups. Young, stressing he speaks only for himself, would much rather see windmills than coal-produced haze. He points to a nearby ridgeline all but obscured on this hazy summer day.
Those mountaintops you're seeing there are about 5 miles away. You should be able to almost count the treetops, but you can barely see them. And that's coal. That's what coal does. And, you know, folks concerned about the view from wind turbines, the whatever part of the view that's objectionable for the wind turbines is at least just right there where the turbines are. The coal, the haze from the coal, and it's been here all summer now, spreads for hundreds of miles, literally to the East Coast now. And I think that's intolerable to have that as a permanent way of generating electricity.
There is other local support for the Ned Power project. It would mean a few hundred temporary construction jobs and a dozen or so permanent operation and maintenance positions. Grant County Commissioner Charlie Goldison says Ned Power has also promised to donate $30,000 a year each to two local schools.
The people in within the county and the landowners here are very, very acceptable to it. The small segment of people that are opposing it is very small, and most of them are not what we say, landowners here, not big landowners, are people that have permanently been located. There are people that come from the city that have a small tract, and it's just not the opposition is not that great.
Jerome Neeson is president of Ned Power, which has received conditional approval from West Virginia regulators for the project. Neeson is Dutch, and in fact his family did own an old-fashioned windmill in the Netherlands. Neeson says he's avoiding areas where endangered species, such as flying squirrels, have been found, and he's conducting a survey of migratory bird flightways to avoid them as well. He says opponents who raise those issues are trying to hide their real agenda.
It's a variation on not in my backyard. It's worse. It's not in my playground, what I call nymphs, not in my playground. It's the weekenders.
Neeson says his wind turbines will produce 300 megawatts of power, enough to light some 60,000 homes. It's a $350 million project that's awaiting just one thing, action by Congress to extend a tax break for producers of alternative energy. This is one point that both sides of the wind power debate agree on. Without help from the federal government, wind power is not economically feasible. Severin Borenstein is director of the University of California Energy Institute.
With those subsidies, the 20 or 30% cost difference between wind and fossil fuel generated power usually are overcome, and that's how wind power expands.
But while wind power is more expensive to generate, Borenstein says, some people say fossil fuels are more costly than they seem.
There is an argument one can make that the extra social costs of using fossil fuels are not really incorporated into the price of those fuels, the pollution and the national security issues, and that if you counted those in, then at least wind power would be pretty competitive.
There is a growing list of proposals for wind farms in the region, from the mountains of West Virginia and Maryland to offshore Virginia. Businesses, institutions, and some local governments in the area are lining up to purchase green power. Critics, though, are wary and say at the least guidelines are needed for locating the projects before the mountaintops are obscured with wind farms. Brian Naylor, NPR News.